Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Chris. A little plug before I read scripture. My name's Joe Brandy, and I help out with, or I guess I lead the small groups now. Yeah, I do. Okay, cool. Love you to be part of those small groups, more than Sundays, allowing this family to really become your spiritual family midweek. On Tuesdays, we're trying to get as many people as possible here, and Chris has said she's going to do worship from about 6 to 6:15 or 20, and then we're going to start small groups around 6:30. So if you want to get extra renewed and get your worship on Tuesdays, that would be amazing, right, Chris? Amen. All right, let me read the scripture before Pastor Adam brings the word. Luke 6:43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is the word of the Lord.
Not getting the reaction you want there, Joe? Do a little training. You could have a little Sunday training or something on how to say thanks be to the Lord. So, hey, great to have you. It's great to be back. And I was away for a little bit, getting some rest. It's been a really basic year, so I didn't really need a vacation. It was awesome. No, I did, and it was good to get away and to kind of get back into some of the things that kind of enjoy, find some other things that get my mind off of what's been going on. And one of the things that I'm really getting into is gardening. I don't know if you're a gardener. My wife, yeah, right? Okay, so my wife is taking a urban agriculture course. She actually decided to get a degree. This is her second year of taking it, with the dream of having one day an off-grid farm, like completely off-grid. So I call my best friend who lives in Australia, and he has a 12-acre macadamia nut farm, and he's totally off-grid. His name's Brett. Some of you have met him. And I was so excited. I called him and I said, hey, I think I'm going to do a 72-site hydroponic outdoor system on some PVC pipe. I've already seeded 72 seeds. I've been looking at the system. I'm excited. I'm telling him about it. He goes, oh, you're an urban prepper. And I'm like, no, bro, I'm not an urban prepper. Do you guys ever know the show Preppers? Like you're ready for the end of the world, you know, like the zombie apocalypse. So I thought, no, I'm not overreacting. I'm not an urban prepper. But I did start to think, as I've been developing all these different seeds and things, that there is a huge loss of understanding about what Jesus is talking about since we have left an agrarian type of life, an agrarian type of understanding, being more connected to the earth. When I was gone, I spent a couple weeks on a plantation. Went away with my daughter, and we were on a plantation. They had all types of fruit. They didn't have solar. They had their own gas. They had their own water. They threw their food right into the ocean. They were living, one day it was by the ocean, and one guy, he went and got an octopus and brought an octopus. He lived next door and he made octopus for me. And then they throw it in the, and I'm like, wow, they're living so close to the earth. This is something that Jesus understood. And if we're going to unmask Jesus, we actually can't take Jesus and put him in New York City and understand him from an urban culture. We so often want to take the Jesus that we know and confine him to our own understandings. You know, Jesus and the church have been around. Well, Jesus has been around a lot longer than 2,000 years. But since Jesus came, it's been 2,000 years. It's been a long time. And there's been a ton of change. What does Jesus mean? And I will say, when he says that we want to bear fruit, what does he mean and how does Jesus understand it? Today in the scripture, we're looking about bearing fruit. We want to provide incredible soil here. I was listening to the Joe Gardner podcast. So, yes, a couple of you raised your hands. If you are a podcast listener and you're a gardener, go listen to the Joe Gardner podcast. I'm all into organic, this and that and listening to it. And one of the things he says is if he had 10 hours to prepare a garden, he would spend 9 of those hours on soil. If he had 10 hours to prepare a garden, he would spend 9 of those hours on soil. You know, where you plant is important, And soil, the soil that nourishes those roots. There's so many different things that Jesus understood that we actually don't understand until we start growing. One of my ideas was to have a whole bunch of plants and just let you all take them home for a month. And then just see what it takes to actually make a plant come alive and to keep it alive. Jesus is speaking about that. And in this passage, he's talking about fruit. He basically is talking about substantive Christianity. Substantive Christ following. Meaning that if you are following Jesus, you are going to see fruit in your own personal life. What does fruit look like? Fruit looks like you have more peace, the fruits of the Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit. Those will not make it to heaven. Paul says that in Corinthians 13 and 14. The gifts of the Spirit are tools to be used. The gifts of the Spirit, there will be no tongues in heaven. There will be no need for healing in heaven. There will be none of this. But the fruit of heaven is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, oddly, self-control, all these different things. And you will see actually more of those things in your life. But what we need to be careful with, especially as pastors, is not creating spiritual ecosystems where all it is about sin management for you. Where the whole thing is to just help you survive, not thrive, not actually ever produce some crops, not actually see somebody else's life changed because of you. That's fruit. Not only see more peace in your life, but what we have tended to do is to have these ecosystems, these microclimates that are churches. They never reach the outside neighborhood. They never change the neighborhood. Your neighbor's heart is never changed because you live next door to them. Your workplace is never changed. Those things are fruit. And when you see change, when someone says, and we have a person here who has brought many people from work, they've seen how they've lived at work. And they've invited 3 to 5 people to this church from the cubicle next to them. And they have introduced me to them every time. This is so-and-so. They give me the backstory. I'm bringing such-and-such to church this week. They saw, we've been having conversations, they're coming to church. That is what fruit looks like. It is a change. It is when a neighbor that our church reached out to during COVID when they were closed, and we blessed them. We blessed them. We took money from our missions. We blessed their business. About a month ago, they came back and they brought us a huge gift and said, hey, thank you so much during that time. You cared for us. You were having fruit and you're seeing fruit. What we don't want is a microclimate of sin management and just trying to survive. So you lied 10% less in January. Well done. You know what I mean? And you can have your little spiritual microclimate, your own little spiritual thing in your heart. But what we want to see is that your life, actually, other people can come to it. Look at this verse, just as a holistic look. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit. So Jesus is looking for good trees, trees that bear fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is what? Recognized by its own fruit. The way you're going to be recognized, you will not be recognized if you're not producing fruit. If we're just in constant sin management, a microclimate of sin management, where we are not planting ourselves in good places, where the soil is not good, where the soil is not rich and nourishing, we won't have fruit, and you will not be recognized. We want to be recognized. Actually, we don't want to personally be recognized. We want the fruit of our lives to be recognized. The problem is when you're like, look at this tree. Look at this tree. You know what happens when you pick fruit from a tree and you take it to someone's house? They never see the tree. The tree becomes invisible. The tree doesn't matter anymore. You know what matters? That fruit. This I had someone bring me some mango. I don't know if you guys ever go to 99 Ranch. It's an Asian market up by Target. If you haven't, I highly encourage you. Seven mangoes for $6. Went in there and the fruit is so good. The fruit tells me about that tree, but I never saw that tree. I never know where that fruit came from, but it is there. So Jesus says, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things, or a good person, out of the good stored up in their heart. And an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. There's a lot going on there. You see the entire root system, you see the tree, you see the fruit, all that is being spoken of, and there is a systematic way to grow healthy fruit. One of the ways is being connected in community. That's why we want this to be more than Sunday. We are spiritually desperate in a positive way, not desperate, but spiritually desperate to provide soil for you, provide sermons for you, provide content for you, provide relationships and community, emotional counseling. These are the things that bring fruit. I want to say that secular culture right now, secular religion, it is in a season of looking to have fruit in their lives. Now, you had the excess of 80s, and culture goes like this. It goes up and down. So right now, our culture is a culture of high visibility when it comes to wanting to produce fruit. They want to change the world. We're all about changing the world. Pretty much in the 80s, we weren't about changing the world. We were about Pac-Man. Some of us wanted to help the rainforest and a few things, but for the most part, it was a lot of, licentious, kind of just living in fullness, wanting to get ahead in these things. Our culture right now is looking for meaningful change. They're looking for meaningful change, but the question is, what is it anchored to? I wrote a sentence this morning. I wrote this: secular religion, and it is religion. You hear words like original sin. Maybe you've heard that in culture recently. You hear about guilt. You should have guilt. All these things that the church has been told that, it was using to bludgeon people for years, right? The world is actually using the terms that they have accused the church of using to control people. Have you ever seen it? It's a form of religion. I put that today's world is trying to create saints without God, virtue without an anchor, and meaning without the supernatural. Now, we can get into that more, but this whole idea of virtue without anchor. Where does your virtue come from? What is it anchored to? What Jesus is saying in this text is that we are anchored to a root. It is a root of understanding. We do not serve an idea. We serve a person, the person of Jesus Christ. You can ask somebody, why should I love people? And the only answer you will get if you're talking to a person in secular religion is because it's nice and it's good for society. It goes no deeper than that. And I would say my answer would be, so what? Why should I love people? Why should I care? Why shouldn't I just try to get ahead? For us, as believers, we take it back to a person, the person of God. That we believe that God created every person with dignity, and he has called us to love people because they are created in the image of God. There is actually an anchor. There is a root to what we believe. It is not based in an ideology. It is based in a person. And so the ideology, when it does not change, it is anchored into that. I want to look at what it means to anchor yourself, to anchor your own personal heart. We have a four-corner church. First corner is the corner of your heart. We want to see that surrender to get to God. You give God an inch, he'll take an eternity. You give him the corner of your heart. It just changes the way your thoughts, your attitudes, your being. Second is the corner of this church. We want to provide a replicable understanding, something that we do here that you look at us and say, I can do that there. We never want to present anything. Well, Chris presented something we can't do. I can't sing like that. I mean, that's Jennifer Hudson, amazing. But we never want to present something that you can't replicate on that second corner. The third corner is the corner you live. How are you changing the culture of your home? How are you bearing fruit in the culture of your home? Fruit in your relationship with your kids, with your family. The 2 weeks that I went away, my daughter and I went away together. It was her, during my vacation, we do a 13-year-old rite of passage trip where they get 2 weeks away with one parent of their choosing and we take them away. And I got the most precious 2 weeks with my 13-year-old, sitting, drawing, listening to Spotify, eating mangoes, talking, watching Fantasy Island from the 1970s. I don't know if you watch Fantasy Island, not the janky new movie. I'm talking about like Mr. Rourke and Tattoo and the whole thing. It was just this precious time where I saw fruit. We put roots in, and I saw fruit. We're committed to doing that. So moving into this scripture and looking at providing a soil and a place where you can change so you can bring fruit is you're going to have to decide where to plant yourself. Where are you planting yourself? What do you put yourself in front of? Where are your roots growing? Are they growing in front of the news? Over the last month when my vacation started, I removed all social media off of my phone. You know what was great? To get to a place on vacation and not have that thing ping in my head that says, you need to take a picture of this to post it. There's this thing where I'm walking around and I'm like, oh, I got to get the picture. You know, it only takes about 2 weeks to cleanse yourself of that, where you actually are in the moment and you forget to take pictures. I went away for 2 weeks. I have like 15 pictures I took. It was amazing because when you only take pictures for yourself, you take a lot less pictures, I'm finding. Where are you planting yourself? What are you putting yourself in front of? What people are you surrounding yourself with? Are you next to toxic people on a regular basis of your choosing? If you want to know one thing I'm learning about plants, if you have a disease in one plant, you got to remove it. Don't try to nurse it back. That's what Joe Gardner said in the podcast. You just remove it because it's going to disease your entire garden. So where are you planting yourself? Two, judging your fruit. Do you even know what fruit looks like? Do you know what fruit looks like and how to grow it? And it's the same way. You know, if we were closer to our agrarian living, we would understand what Jesus is talking about. But judging your fruit. And then also that fruit comes from the heart. It really starts from the root. And the root that Jesus says here is your heart. Let's look quickly at this. It's all about the fruit I put in the notes. But fruit will not produce in bad soil. If you look in your notes, you're going to see Matthew 13:8. Jesus is talking about seeds. He's talking about seeds that have the ability to grow. And seeds germinate. I went to Home Depot and I got one of those boxes, right? I learned a lot. You fill the bottom of the box with water, and then you put these 72 seeds, you plant them in coconut husk, so I planted them in coconut husk, and then you put a cover over it, and then what I learned is you put them in the sun, and the water, somebody's laughing at me over there, because they, you know, it's just like new to me, you know, I'm an urban prepper though, you know, and the sun draws it up because of the heat in there, draws it up through the roots, and all of a sudden, these plants begin to sprout. All of a sudden, life happens. You have this dead seed. But you put it in the right environment, you give it water, like it talks about in Psalm 1. We're going to end with Psalm 1 in this passage. You put it in the right environment, and all of a sudden it comes to life. This is so important when we're thinking about ourselves. Where are you planted? Where do you plant your mind? I say, whether it's social media or just media, you need to guard your heart and your mind. When I do not do that, when I start taking my cues from the in, from the outside in, a world that trades upon fear, that trades upon emotion. When you put your thoughts, where you put your thoughts, the books you read, the shows that you watch, all of this just is a decision of where you're going to plant yourself. As a gardener, as a spiritual gardener, creating a microclimate for your soul, where are you planting yourself? I have found that it doesn't take long to plant myself in the right place before my heart and my mind changed. Yesterday I woke up, started taking my cues from the outside in, right? Not from the inside out. By one, I'm not feeling good. I'm upset, frustrated. Mask this, tell me that. I'm into the battle. I'm into the fight of this conversation that we've had since March. It's the same discussion I've had since, right? Do you find yourself having the same discussion since March? And I realized this isn't healthy for me. This is not healthy. So, funny, I got a suggestion to read a book on Francis of Assisi. So I got an audiobook, started listening to it, started listening to him and how he cared for the earth and all these different things. All of a sudden, as scripture was speaking, within a half hour, everything just, whew. Have you ever found that if you put yourself in the right place, you put on the right music, you hang out with the right people? I went over to my friend Chris's house yesterday. We sat for 2 hours, had good community, great conversation, talked about our families and what we want for our lives, soil. And all of a sudden, I left his house alive. I left his house more alive than I felt at 9 a.m. because I had put myself in a seed, just put myself in the good soil. You know, the Holy Spirit, God's power works on the seed. The seed doesn't sit there and say, oh, I just need to get in the right environment. Actually, it isn't just waiting, and the seed doesn't act upon itself. What happens is the environment acts upon the seed. The seed is there, and then it is put in the right environment. And then all of a sudden, it comes alive. It's like being awakened from the dead, like a resurrection. The story of the gospel is in a seed, by the way. The story of the gospel surrounds us. And so it says in Matthew 13:8, still another seed fell to the ground on good soil. Wow. Good soil. Where's your soil? Where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. I drove up to Big Bear to my in-laws have a place up there, and I needed to be checked on. So I ran up there last week and checked on it. And there's an apple tree that is there. And it literally, I mean, this is no hyperbole, 1,000 apples on it. 1,000. I brought a couple hundred home because we got a dehydrator. So I brought a couple hundred home just, you know, to have and to use. And I just realized that that's just one seed. One seed. There literally is 1,000 apples on the tree. It is so incredible. You know what? If you are struggling, if you are lonely, if you are having a difficult time, think about where you plant yourself. Think about the soil that you're in. What are you filling your mind with? What are you letting come into your eyes? Maybe to turn it all off. You know, it doesn't take long to turn it all off. When I was away this over the 2 weeks with my daughter, we were not near urban areas. We went away, got on the coast, and we just got away. And you know what's amazing when you get into nature? Everything seems okay. Everything seems in order. The birds are doing their thing. The bugs are doing their thing. What Satan loves is noise, chaos, fear. That's what he wants. And is that going to be our diet? So where are you planting yourself? If you want to have a crop, just try this. Just plant yourself in better places. It takes discipline to go out and plant a seed. I got to say, putting 72 seeds in that little tray seems easy. It wasn't. Took forever to do it, but all of a sudden they're germinating. Why? We put them in the right place with the right water. Where are you? Jesus wants to give you fruit. Just put yourself in the right place. Moving on to the second point, judging fruit. That's interesting because there's this whole culture in our culture that says don't judge. Maybe you heard that. About 10 years ago, we had the don't judge. You can never make a judgment anymore. Judgment's wrong, and you can't make a judgment, which is actually completely ridiculous. Everybody needs to make judgment. You cannot have wisdom without making judgments. What the scripture says and what we understand is that we don't make the judgments. We understand judgments, and we can make wise decisions based on what the judge has said. And so I do not make the judgments of God. God has his judgments. I understand his judgments. And by those judgments, I can use wisdom to abide according to those judgments or not abide according to them. What the secular religion tries to tell you, that if you abide according to a higher judgment, then you are judging yourself. This is exactly opposite of what the scripture says. Because the scripture does tell you not to judge. But you need to know, was that a good piece of fruit? Was that fruit sweet that came out of my life? Did it bring life to me or does it bring death? We all go through seasons of temptation, myself included. Surprisingly, I actually do. And what I tend to do, and because I lived in a secular world for so long, going after my own agenda, going after the things I wanted, every time I followed those things, they took me to death. When I followed the sensation of drugs, I ended up with a heart attack. When I followed the sensation of relationships, then it led to broken relationships and death. God has shown me, and I've make a judgment now. And so when temptation comes now, one of the things, it's a great thing to do when you have temptation. Before you partake in a temptation, sit and think, where does this lead to? And do you even have an understanding where this relationship or this idea or this business matter or whatever it would be would go to, and understand so you can make a judgment? We actually need believers who know the judgments of God and can live according to them, because the judgments of God lead to life. God forbid, Paul says, that the law, even though it can lead to death if you are not under the grace of God, the law is life, and we live according to the spirit of the law. Let's just say in verse 44, it says, each tree then is recognized. People will judge your fruit. Whether the world says don't judge or not, let me just tell you what, they're going to judge. And they're going to know what is good fruit and what is bad fruit. We want to have fruit. How do you have fruit? Well, once you put yourself in good soil, you watch. Fruit will be a natural consequence of planting yourself in the right place. Go to verse 44. It says, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. I want to say that when you have fruit, by just putting yourself in the right soil, that's it. My daughter this week said, you know, Dad, I realize when I read the scripture, my daughter Lily, when I read the scripture, life's a lot easier. I'm nicer. I want to be closer to God. These things, it just happens by planting myself in the scripture. Each morning, plant yourself in the scripture. Find your place. When you go to Forest Home, we mentioned we prayed for Forest Home because of the fires. If you've been to Forest Home, they have an ample amount of blackberries. And so if you have been there, you walk along the road and all of a sudden something catches your eye. There's blackberries just right there off the trail. That's also, there's bears. One time we reached and a bear ran out. That tripped me out a little bit. Hopefully the fruit of your tree does not have a bunch of bears running around it. But nonetheless, what I have found is I'm so attracted to those berries about this time of the year. This is when they're the best. And if you've been there, you've reached out and we would take those berries. You take it to the milkshake place and then they put it in milkshakes for you and the fresh berries in the milkshake. It was just amazing. People were attracted to that. When you put yourself, like Jesus says, in the good soil, in the Word of God, when you change perhaps what you're listening to on Spotify, when you change what you're reading in the news, when you change perhaps who you're hanging out with or the news that you're listening to, when you change yourself and you put yourself in better places with people that are encouraging, with people who lift you up, then you're going to find that all of a sudden you will germinate. And when you germinate, the next thing that will happen, if you continue to do that, you will have fruit. And people will recognize the fruit. Just like when you're at Forest Home, they will walk by and they'll say, that is a person of fruit. Just like this church made a decision to help a local business, they recognized it. I could probably say that we could not be more dramatically opposed on our beliefs. I know them, they're friends of mine. We believe completely opposite. But we all want to help the world. We all want to change the world. And they recognize that, and they care for us. They dropped off a huge thing of pastries for us. And it was amazing to see that we can work and care because they see the fruit. And I got to say, I see their fruit as well, that they care. But what I want to do is have the fruit be attached to the root of the person of God. And so that's what we're trying to do. So one was, you need to decide where to plant yourself. And two, judge your fruit. Fruit judging. It says, don't judge, but we understand that people, when they see fruit, will be attracted to it. Galatians 5:22 in your notes, just a complimentary verse. If you want to know a lot about fruit, go to Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In my Holy Spirit class, I spoke to them about how easy it is to know when you're not in those places. It is easy to know when you're not walking in peace. It is very easy. It is very easy to know when you're not walking in joy, when you're not walking in self-control. It's easy to know. The hard part is to do something about it. You know, sometimes I will go days because I know the right thing to do. I just don't want to do it. Something in me says, hey, slow down, get with God, confess if you need to confess, have, you know, ask forgiveness of something, do what you know how to get back home. That's why we want to do these discipleship programs, so people know how to get back home when they're lost. I know how to get back home, but sometimes I just don't want to go home yet. What I want to do is we want to move towards a life that is, we understand that fruit will bring these things in our life, and that we are willing to do the hard work to have that done. Do you really want love, joy, peace, patience? I just have to admit, and maybe I'm the only one, but so many times I just don't want it. Even though I know my life is not going great. I'm upset, I'm angry, and I feel vindicated in my anger, whatever it is. And I hang out in really bad orchards when I know how to get back home. Why do we do that? Why don't we slow down? It just isn't easy as going, or as difficult as planting yourself in the right place and knowing what the fruit of your life is. Verse 44, like I said, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Just a final note that you will know when your life changes till you start having abundant crops for other people. Our lemon tree in our yard, our owner of the house we rent, she fertilizes it. We have so many lemons. We have more lemons than we know what to do with. Bob's walked by. He lives right by me. We put them outside all the time. And I got a thank you note recently. People take the fruit. We have an abundance of fruit that we can just have. We can have. One of the things I'm doing right now is I'm planting more things than I need. I planted my Thanksgiving garden, so we're going to have our Brussels sprouts. I don't know why I planted Brussels sprouts. I don't like them either, but I planted a ton of them. I'm going to have this extra fruit, and I love laying fruit outside our door. Somebody came by me, and they said, oh, are you the house that has the fruit outside all the time? Because I have apples now from Big Bear I can put out and different things. I'm like, yeah, that's us. It's the same way. You will know when your life changes from sin management and just trying to survive to where people are calling you and say, hey, can I get some time with you? You will know. They will say, I want to spend time with you. Or they will call you. You will become a resource. You might see it happen gradually, but they will know that you have excess on the tree. That's what Jesus had. And then finally, as we close, that fruit comes from the heart. Verse 45, a good man, I think this is anthropos. I would imagine the Greek word would be anthropos, meaning mankind. A good man brings good things out of the good, where? Stored up in his or her heart. You have the ability to have your heart be a silo. As you are in God's grace, as you are in good soil, as you are producing fruit and the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, you will see that your silo of your heart will begin to fill. You will have more margin. One of the things that spending time with God does is it gives you margin. It gives you margin to where you would have gotten angry in the past. You have a little bit of a buffer zone. You find that you're walking. You can fill that. There is no limit to how high you can fill the silo of God's fruit of the Spirit in your heart. Because not only do you have for others, you have for yourself. And you can just have that be filled with these things. We have a silo. And it is out of that place that your life takes meaning. This is how you have substantive Christianity. We have, if we're going to be relevant to the world, we have to have a Christianity that just isn't about making people better people. It's about caring about things like our environment. What can we do to change and help the environment? What can we do? I think emotional wellness is a huge open door for believers right now. Why have we started an emotional wellness center here with Bucky and Corinne and Sissy that come in and do all the counseling? Because it's a massive open door to our culture. And I have three non-believing friends who are using our counseling system now that all ask me, do you know somebody? I said, we have someone in our church. They're all using our counseling system now. It is fruit. It is a fruit-producing way. And we have to be able to produce fruit. We have to care about the poor. We have to have these different ideas of things that matter, that we can change the world. We can't have the world caring more about things that we should care about. We have to be concerned about things like unrestrained capitalism, meaning you just make it on your own and I'll figure it out on my own. We have to have some way to help the poor, to care for the poor. These are the things that we want to care about as a church. And this is the things that we will care about as a church. As a church, we are going to give you opportunities to care for the poor, to partner with urban churches. We're working on partnerships right now. As you know, as part of our response to the what happened with social unrest in our country, is I'm taking a peace and starting not till 2021 USD. I'm applying for the Peace and Justice Studies MS degree, so that we can MA degree, excuse me, so that we can, you know, as a church, be on the front lines of those things. But it's substantive. I want you to have a substantive faith to be a part of that. Luke 45 for a landing. A good man brings out good things stored up in his heart, and an evil person brings evil things stored up in their heart. There is a storage. They bring it out as well. You hear the key there is when you have fruit in your heart, you bring it out. You go get that bowl, you fill it full of the lemons, and you take it to your front door with a note that says, these were in the sun for 3 hours, no one has touched them, and they're sanitized, you can take them. I wrote the note. I wouldn't really care. I would just take them and eat it right there. But there's a lot of people in my neighborhood that care. And that's good. And I want to care because they care. Because I want to care for people. So we bring the fruit out. We bring the fruit out. You bring it to them. Let me just give you a couple ideas. Go to your local coffee house and bring flowers. Go buy flowers. Just bring them flowers. Get your neighbors gifts. Somebody says their mom's sick in the hospital. Can I write her a note? These are the things. You bring them out of your heart. You live beyond yourself. It can't be about just surviving. There are seasons of survival. I'm reading Job right now, again, twice this summer. Why would you do that to yourself? Because I love that book. And then I finish it with Ecclesiastes. So why would you do that to yourself? As I read these things, I keep saying, there are seasons of that. But for the most part, we want to bring out, this church wants to encourage you to partner together to bring out the goodness of God. Back to where you're planting yourself, because that's the key. We'll finish with Psalm 1:2. It's in your notes, I believe. Blessed is the one whose delight is in what? The law of the Lord. Delighting in the law of the Lord. Wow. And who meditates on the law day and night. That person will be like what? Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit and season, whose leaf does not wither. And then I love this promise. Whatever they do prospers. Not some of the stuff here and there. Whatever they do prospers. That is a picture of a tree next to a stream. It's getting watered regularly. It's producing fruit in season, which means there are seasons where you need to rest, where you're not an ample fruit producer. There are seasons of fallow. We're in seasons. We take breaks here. We just took all of August off to show and to model that there are seasons where we need to rest. We're not here on a treadmill, but this is what we want. And I want to invite you all to be a part of this here in this community. We want to build an army of God's love and consolation that goes out to the world, that cares about justice, that cares about our environment, but more importantly, cares about the salvation of mankind so that they might know Jesus Christ, his blood, what he did, not live in guilt, and have God in their heart and know him forever. Amen? All right, I ask that you bow your heads if you would, and if you can extend your hands, I want to bless you. In a world full of curses, world full of chaos, in the authority of Jesus. And one of the words God has given me to you is some of you are not walking in authority. He has given you authority, spiritual authority. So I bless you with authority that comes from the kingdom, which is girded in wisdom. Authority. So I pray authority upon this congregation. I pray wisdom upon them, Lord God. I pray grace upon them. I pray hope. Pray hope in God and to live in the victory. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that they would be able to root themselves and plant themselves in good places, that you would germinate their hearts. Show them the things you're saying, no, stop going. Stop putting yourself in that toxic soil. Bless them and cover them. If you've not made a decision to follow Jesus, just in your own heart, it's this easy, because God knows. Say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I don't understand it all, but I've had so much guilt, fear, worry. I want to make you the Lord over my entire life. If you've prayed that with me right now, then just speak to me after the service. We want to get you baptized and see you get on that right track and get rooted. So God, I bless these people. I send them out. Thank you that they're back. Thank you for this incredible church, Lord God. And I love them. We love you. Protect our houses. Protect us from disease. Just we pray for vaccines and whatever is necessary just to move. But don't let us leave this season too quickly. God, don't let us leave too quickly before we learn everything we need to learn. We thank you for it. We thank you, God, for all of it in our suffering. And we pray for the lonely at this church. Draw them in. Let us see who they are and let us care. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I bless you and send you. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Maybe you'll double dip tonight at the Bay. We hope to see you there. Good to be home. Bye-bye.